Hello and welcome everyone to Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. Whoops. So tonight we're probably going to talk about the season finale of Preacher. Killjoys, Winona Earp, Fear the Walking Dead, and Castle Rock. And I'd like to thank everybody for sticking with us the past couple of weeks because we've been kind of flaky and canceling, but we got lives too. So, now that I finally got into the studio, there's nobody here yet. So, as soon as my lady callers show up, we will get rocking and rolling. What can I babble about in the meantime? What else have I been watching that we don't normally talk about that I can waste the air time with? Nothing. I haven't really watched. Oh, Better Call Saul. I watched episode 3 or 4 today. Still a really great show. If you're into that. If you're not, go check out Breaking Bad and then watch Better Call Saul. Hopefully good shows. What else? What else can I bore you people with? Oh, never mind. I have a caller. Maybe if I can get it to unmute. Hello.
Hi, your caller is Karen. How are you?
Hi, Karen. How are you doing?
It's Karen and Speedy. He says hi. You hear that?
What's that?
Did you hear Speedy saying hello? Speedy was meowing hello to you.
Yes, I heard Speedy meow.
He's hungry. How are you? Is Jamie on?
Good. Not with us yet.
All right. So we have a shortish show again this week, huh?
Yep. Fear the Walking Dead, Killjoys, Preacher, Winona, and Castle Rock. But some of the stuff we have 2 episodes to talk about. So.
Yeah, we were off last week. Because I went to, well, I guess I was away and you were not available last week, right?
Yeah. I was not available last week, and when you messaged to say that you were not going to be available either, I went, okay, I guess we're canceling the show.
Sometimes we have a life on Tuesdays, listeners. We had stuff to do last Tuesday. So, all right. Well, Jamie, I think, is not caught up on Castle Rock, right? I know she's been kind of busy lately.
Yeah. I can't believe she is.
All right. And she's not watching Preacher. So as usual, we have the shows that you watch and the shows that Jamie watches, and I'm sort of in between there, watching all of them.
Yes, you are. Yep.
Most part. Yeah.
You're the only faithful.
I am.
I saw something yesterday while we're waiting for Jamie. And I didn't think to message you about it. But I'll text it to you later. One of the Losties, they met Evie at something called Dragon Con. And
yes,
I
think Jamie has been to Dragon Con
fielding,
in the past.
Okay. Well, Evie was fielding questions, and one of the questions was, what is something people misinterpret about Lost or something, or something like, they don't like something about Lost that they should like if they understood it better or something like that. So she says, I'm going to go right to the finale.
Yeah.
And she gave a really good answer to her belief about the finale, which I thought was pretty good. Probably one of the best explanations I've ever heard other than,
Yeah.
Because that's usually the answer you get when you ask somebody from the show.
Because they don't want to. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I've always felt the ending is kind of a choose-your-own-adventure type scenario, which is kind of sort of what she says, but in a much better, more elegant way. So I'll have to send you that link.
Yeah, do.
It's like 2 minutes. It's not even that long.
Hmm.
But,
That, I mean, that is a question that, you know, people still fight over years, 8 years after the show ended.
Yeah, absolutely.
And will probably never be resolved. So.
Yeah, I'll think of this, but since we're still waiting for Jamie, I'll tell our listeners who obviously listen to us because they used to listen to us talk about Lost. She basically said, you know, if you want definitive answers and everything, she's like, that's what religion is for. Go to church if you want actual answers. She's like, with art, you know, every week on Lost, we, you know, and every season finale, we gave you more questions. You know, sometimes, you know, she's like, Lost definitely gave more questions than answers because the show was about looking in yourself, you know. And she's like, that's ultimately what the finale was, you know, that, you know, the church scene was mostly about looking within yourself for the answers, you know, kind of take what, it's just like, everybody's going to see the finale differently and, you know, just take what you take away from the finale because there really are no wrong answers. Except for the people that misunderstood completely and thought they were, she didn't say this, but I'm saying it. Except for the people that misunderstood him completely and thought they were dead the whole time.
Well, yeah, those people didn't get it at all. And I do
Go ahead,
finish your thought. I was just going to say, the people I know who hated it the most are people who are like, I didn't get any answers. There were no answers. Like, the people looking for the definitive answer of the show are the people that hate that episode the most. So that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, the I've recently had people that I've had to correct who thought they were all dead at the end.
Yeah, those people don't get it. Yeah, sorry, listeners, you're wrong.
Well, no, it was funny. Once I explained it, they were like, oh, and they're like, oh, the show is, she goes, oh, and then they're like, oh, well, that makes the show much better knowing that.
Yeah. Okay.
Jamie knows we have a podcast tonight.
Yeah, Jamie answered the text message earlier. I mean, we could want to just jump into talking about a show that she doesn't watch. We could talk about Castle Rock or Preacher while waiting for her.
Why don't we start with the season finale of Preacher while we're waiting for her, because I don't know where she's at with Castle Rock, so I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
So what did you think of the finale?
Well, I think... So I actually quizzed Tom, our old co-host Tom from Twin Peaks, because I know he's a comic reader, and I talked to him a little bit to find out what was in the comics and what wasn't, and, you know, that kind of thing. I think it was a pretty good season finale. You know, I'm glad that it wrapped up the whole Angelville storyline. I kind of like the way they wrapped it up and the things that happened with the different characters. It opened up this whole new thing with Satan. I mean, is it new, but, you know, the whole, like, Satan and I guess this is when the saint really becomes the saint, when he shoots Satan in the head, which kind of shocked me, although Tom told me that that does, in fact, happen in the comic book. So I kind of liked where they left that all off. I'm not sure how I feel about the Grail. And, I mean, I'm glad the Allfather was killed, but where the Grail has kind of gone with Hare... what's his name? Hare Scarface, Hare Star no longer wants Jesse to be the Messiah, and now he just like wants to kill him or whatever. I tell you one thing that I'm really not down with at all in the whole show is this idea that they had all those clones of Humperdoo, and then at the end when Hare Star takes off takes off his little umbrella and fries him, and he says, oh, Featherstone, we're going to need new Hoover. And she says, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, is he going to be cloned and just come back again? I'm really not. The cloning thing is not, I don't know. It seems like a lazy gimmick to me. And I'm not down with characters dying but can be cloned and come right back. I may have misread that. Maybe you didn't get the same feeling that he was going to be cloned, but I kind of got that feeling at the end.
I didn't.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. I'm glad to be out of Angelville. I had very mixed feelings. I felt like the I felt like it was kind of all over the place.
Okay.
I think my biggest thing was just the relief that Angelville was over.
Yeah.
The Cassidy story, how it ended. I think part of the problem is because sometimes I have trouble. I thought I was doing pretty good at this point, but for some reason, this whole Hoover being a vampire story is kind of bothering me.
Well, it's not being very well done.
No. He shows up and he saves Cassidy because he's basically repaying a debt to Cassidy because Cassidy saved him, and all the other vampires get fried. I'm familiar with the comic, I think that's what it is. I feel like I was having trouble in the finale distancing myself from the comic because there was a lot of comic elements in this season, but there was also a lot of stuff that didn't happen in the comics, which a lot of it was fun, like the little excursion with Featherstone and Jody and Tulip to Japan was fun. I thought that side storyline I thought was a lot of fun. But some of the stuff, like the stuff with the Saint and the bus and Azrael and Arseface and Hitler, all that was that bothered me. The fact that he's still taking Arseface back to hell, because I was looking forward to seeing his side story that he has, which is kind of disconnected from the
Eugene?
Rest of them in the comics, but he's still around. Eugene, yeah. And I'm so used to, in the comics, they call him Arseface all the time, so I'm used to that. I forgot his name. He has his own story and has nothing to do with hell. So I keep waiting for that to happen, but now that he's with the Saint, I don't know. It's kind of fun on one hand to change it up because it's new for me too from the comic, but at the same time, sometimes that's what you want. You want to see those iconic things from the comic come to life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of bent in between. Like with Walking Dead, when I was still watching, I was okay because we got a lot of those iconic moments that I knew from the comics, even though they screwed up the most major of all the iconic moments from the comic.
Yeah.
Which is why I stopped watching, but that's a different, but that's a different story. With this, I'm still enjoying it, but it was weird. Like, I enjoyed it, but at the same time, I felt let down. I'm glad, I didn't like God stepping in and saving Tulip at the last second. I thought that was on the same level as, when we used to complain about Sleepy Hollow, whenever they needed an answer to something.
They called Katrina. Yeah.
What's her face? I felt like that was God now. I feel like, really bad thing. Holy crap. Oh, wait, God just saved everybody. God just stepped in and changed what happened. I don't like that. That reminds, that's like the old, and I wasn't old enough for this, but the really old serials where, they were the weekly serials and something would happen, like the hero would go off the cliff and the following week the hero doesn't go off the cliff. Like, they give you that cliffhanger, literally, and then change the story the following week. And that's what this felt like to me, with God showing up.
Yeah, like Glenn under the dumpster. Like Glenn's under the dumpster kind of thing. let's break it down a little bit.
Bad, but yeah, I know what you mean.
So to break it down, I got to tell you, I fully expected Tulip to save herself in that scene. And it was a little bit jarring for God to come and save her because she doesn't need him to save her. And yet that's the conversation they have where she's like, I don't need you. I've made my whole life without you. Why do I need you now? Right. And I believe she calls God a dick in that scene, is a horrible, blasphemous thing to say, except, like, the way they're playing God and the way God has been in this show, he is kind of a dick. Like, and the God storyline felt really divorced from the whole show this season. Like last season was so much about, like, Jesse has this mission and he's going to find God because God is – and we totally got sidetracked this season and never saw that storyline, and God was sort of, like, thrown in there a little bit. It's interesting that the only time we saw God at all this season was talking to Tulip, and we almost never saw Jesse even mention his mission to, like, find God and put him back to work. It was all about Tulip. It's interesting to me that the main driving force of, like, what is the main storyline of the show in the comic book became a little bit more Tulip's thing this season.
Right,
and yeah, that whole thing
that's
with...
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
What that... No, go ahead. I was going to change tacks a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, even in the comics, they have different adventures because they get sidetracked by whatever, you know, just by whatever. But it's always all about finding God. Even when they get sidetracked, there's a connection, you know?
Yeah.
And I think in all of the entire comic, I think God is actually seen twice in the whole comic.
Huh.
There's the one time I told you about, which they've already changed the storyline, where Tulip actually gets shot by Jody, and then God actually shows up in Angelville and brings her back and kind of does what he's doing with this, which is telling Jesse to back off. He's like, I gave you your life back, now you need to do me a favor. Tell Jesse to back off, which she doesn't do in the comic either. And then the second time you see him is towards the end of the comic, like within, I think it might be the last issue, actually. So it's kind of weird that they keep putting him in this.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of a problem in the storyline, and I mean, it's interesting that it became Tulips. What I was going to say was, as part of that whole scene, I mean, it was sort of ridiculous, the whole scene where, like, Hitler's Nazi friends, like, come to stop the Saint and Sydney, I think is what the devil calls her, from taking those guys to hell, which I don't know how they went from sitting around outside a 7-Eleven to having a tank and being, like, a brigade of Nazi soldiers or whatever. I guess
yeah.
It's based on a comic book, and I shouldn't overthink it, but that was a little bit much.
I'm not really sure either.
Right? That was a little kind of ridiculous. And that whole scene was, well, and I mean, the highlight of it was the fight scene where Tulip's fighting her way out of the bus, right?
Yeah.
That was
a lot of
that
fight
was
a, in this
episode. Yeah. Yeah. And that was, it was great, although the whole thing, like, I mean, while I think I enjoyed this episode more than you did, I do have to agree with you that the whole Eugene and Hitler storyline is very much sort of a distraction and tacked on, and they're not characters that necessarily, like, I feel like they're just riding the Saint's coattails. Like, the Saint, you know, has a bone to pick with Jesse. And he's, you know, he's a major character in the comic books, right? And he's a major character in the show. And I feel like they sort of tacked on these other characters in hell onto his coattails a little bit this season. We really, none of the action this season really needed to involve Hitler at all, ever. Hitler can just be out of the show. And Eugene, although I understand in the comic book, Eugene... Does Jesse not send Eugene to hell in the comic book?
No, that's completely something that they did with here. Eugene has his own story. Like, you know, Eugene actually is pissed at Jesse at first because, and not, you know, in this sense, because Jesse sent him to hell. He doesn't even seem pissed at Jesse for sending him to hell, but in the comic, his dad... Well, I forget. Was his dad in season one? Was his dad the sheriff?
Yes. Yes, he was. He used to make food in a blender for Jesse, for Eugene, yeah.
In the comic, after, oh my God, I forget the name, after their hometown blows up.
Anvil.
Jesse says to the sheriff, he tells him to go fuck himself.
And
he does. And he dies because of it, like, and that's why. And so at first, even though his dad is really, you know, really mean to Eugene, Eugene's still pissed off that Jesse made his father kill himself, basically.
Okay, well, that makes sense because, I mean, it doesn't make sense, but by the end of this episode, Eugene is mad at Jesse. Like, Eugene has gone to hell and still maintained his very sort of positive outlook, right? He for a while there, almost makes Hitler turn good and whatever. But by the end of this episode, he suddenly is very, you know, he decides he's very angry at Jesse for sending him to hell and not coming to get him, which makes sense, except that Eugene never expressed that at all in a season and a half since he's been to hell, right? And, like, now at the end of this episode, he's, like, really mad at Jesse. It's a little surprising that it just came out of his mouth in this episode.
And that's the thing,
because
with Eugene, in the comics, I'm not going to tell you what his story is, but he's following them in the comics. He's following them, trying to track Jesse down, and gets sidetracked himself and has his own story.
Yeah.
And then they do meet back up again, but it's only because of Eugene's
he's been following
story
them.
That Eugene, let's just say Eugene ends up in the news in his story. And then Jesse actually goes, you know, they actually search him out. So Jamie's here. So anything else? I think we can probably, or might be.
Okay.
You think we've wrapped everything up?
She there? Yeah, I think so. We wrapped. I mean, we could go on. We could dissect it more, but we don't have to.
Probably.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
Sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
By the way, I should be mad
That's
at you guys.
Right.
I was texting you when I knocked my phone in the pool.
I was going to say, I haven't heard from you since
so
you were
waterproof.
At the pool.
It's okay.
No wonder. No wonder we didn't know what happened to you.
No, I texted you after, but I just I figured I'd blame you because I was, like, literally texting it right after I texted it. Actually, the funny thing is I was putting it back into the Ziploc so it didn't fall in the pool, and I didn't zip it all the way, and I dropped the bag, and oh, well.
Whoopsie.
Anyway, it's still waterproof, so it's okay. I'm just paranoid. But anyway, so I know you guys were doing Preacher. I didn't see or didn't hear if you guys did what other show were you doing?
That was all we did. That's all we did.
Oh, that's all you did. Okay. All right. Okay. Well.
So now you guys can do Fear, Killjoys, and Winona. And I'll mute myself.
All right.
So take it away, ladies.
Okay. Well, do you want to start with Fear?
Sure. Let's start with Fear.
Okay.
And we haven't talked about it in a while.
Right. I was going to say, I watched half of the one before last night, too, though, so I might be slightly mixed up which is which, but I think
that's okay. We can take it sort of
I'm not sure. I mean, I know what's going on, but it just seems it's kind of crazy. Like, I had talked to you a little bit on text messages the one day that I was confused why these crazy people, they let Morgan go, but yet they didn't after. And it's kind of like they let him go on his way and get food, but then after they act like they want to kill him. And I think the whole point was they figured or assumed that he would do that, I guess, from the beginning, and that they'd be able to follow him to Virginia. Hold on a second.
Sure.
Sorry. Anyway, so I don't know. I was kind of like, why did they, you know, did they help him at first? But I guess they must have assumed he was going to let them follow them anyway. I do have to say, though, and this part was from the other episode, I know, but Morgan would have been dumb to give them all the information anyway before they saved him. I'm surprised that they believed he did. That was kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But I guess
dumb people are going to survive at the end of the world. We can't all be smart at the end of the world.
But
some
I'm
dumb
just
people
as
will.
Dumb. But I'm just as dumb because, you know, it took me to, I feel really stupid even saying this. I probably shouldn't admit it. But it took me until I watched it took me until the last episode for it to hit me. Because you know how I kept saying, was he going back to save the other people? I was, like, so mixed up in my mind. It took me to last episode to realize that when he was saying Virginia, he meant, like, Rick and them, not the other people in Fear the Walking Dead. And I, until, like, that episode, didn't quite get that. And I think that's why a lot of it wasn't matching up in my mind. So, but I guess he finally agreed to take them. They seem like they're not exactly bad. They're just not good either.
Yeah. So I have a couple, I have a couple issues with what's going on here. First of all, this idea that Morgan now really, really wants to go back to Alexandria, and he kind of regrets having left. And he basically last week said, well, Rick was right. Like, Rick told me I would want to be around people again, and he was right. You know, I want to go back. And I'm like, don't even tell me
around his own friends.
Don't even tell me that Morgan's going to go back to Walking Dead. That's not going to happen, right? Like, are they seriously going to, like, what is he going to go? Is he going to leave and go back to Virginia now all of a sudden? Like, why are they? I don't understand
unless
where the storyline is going.
Unless they
want to
make a crossover down the road, but I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know that they'll ever even get there. They were going to Texas first, remember, to give the truck back to the people that they killed one of their people to take it from. Like, how does that even make sense?
Well, and also to find his friends who are in Texas. So one of my problems is that we discussed this on text message that last week, Morgan, during the hurricane, he climbs in the back of this truck, and he sleeps so soundly that he doesn't notice that the truck starts and drives 400 miles with him sleeping in the back of the semi, right? He doesn't even notice that the truck is moving. He sleeps like, I mean, drive for that truck to drive 400 miles is probably like 7 or 8 hours, right?
Yeah. I would think at some point have checked the truck too, but.
Well, all of it, right? That they don't check the truck, that he doesn't wake up for, like, okay, he could sleep 7 or 8 hours, he was tired, but he doesn't notice the truck is moving, like, the whole, yeah, it was, right? But whatever, let's suspend our disbelief. Now we've got this thing where he wants to go back to Alexandria, which is, I don't know if that's annoying or not. He can't be going back to Alexandria. Like, while they're going to head on the road to Virginia, they're never going to get there.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I mean, he's not going to – he's not going to the show. They just killed everyone. They just killed all the stars of the show, right, so that he could be the star. I guess they can't afford to pay anyone. Now they have Lenny James. They had to kill them all so they could make room on their salary cap or something.
Maybe.
Hey,
but the thing is what is – sorry, go ahead, AJ.
Could it be possible that they're not, I mean, the creators of the show aren't telling anybody, but because of Andrew Lincoln and, I can't think of her name now, Lauren Cohan, and with Carl, like, killing Carl last season, and with all the people they've killed on Fear, do you think it's possible that they're going to merge the two shows and just have The Walking Dead?
I couldn't see that. Plus, they pretty much already said they're giving the show to Daryl.
I mean,
it's just a question because I'm listening to you guys, and that's what it sounds like to me. I could be way off, but I just want to interject.
I think it's
more likely they're going to make a crossover. That's my opinion, but.
I have considered it. I have considered it, AJ, while I was watching it. And as I was thinking to myself, he can't be going back to Alexandria. Morgan's not going to leave the show. And I was like, wait, could he actually bring all of his people to Alexandria and they'll all join and merge? And I, like, it did occur to me, and I sort of discounted the idea because I don't see them. First of all, Fear is the better show from an artistic standpoint. Any individual episode set aside, overall, it's the better show. And I don't see them, if they can make money off two shows, why would they consolidate it to one show, right? But story-wise, yeah, I thought about it.
Yeah, because you know how easy it is to find people in the apocalypse on these shows, so.
Right, yeah.
The one thing, though, I was going to say that I kind of don't get his motivation is his thing of, these people, with not saying it, these people stole this truck from your person and let him die, so we're going to bring you the truck back. Like, that part I don't get. Like, I get that part of it when he was saying he was coming after him, he meant for, I guess, his people he was going to pick back up on the way, but this whole that he's giving the truck back, I don't understand. And then the other thing that confused me is that woman, the crazy woman who thinks she's Michonne, is she, like, was she from that original group, or is she just totally insane? I don't even get how she's connected to that. Did you understand that? I don't know. Maybe
no.
I think I just gave up at a certain point.
So I understand Morgan wants to give – so those two people, the guy in the wheelchair and the white lady, they stole the truck from a trucker who was doing this good work, right? And
right,
so,
which is the one he found on the side of the road when he found the box originally.
No, I think it's Purvis, the guy that she had with the zombie that she wrote on his face. I think it was Purvis.
Think, Okay, see, I thought, if you remember when he first found the box, at the very, like,
mm-hmm.
way back, he found a zombie there that was, like, dying. I thought that was supposed to be that, like, they took his truck and left him on the side of the road and he got killed. Maybe I took that wrong then. But you're saying you think the one they stole it from is Purvis. But, see, how does she, so what, she just found him roaming and killed him to be her pet? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, so here's a couple, two things I want to say about this. First of all, yeah, it's possible that she killed that guy and they think they stole the truck from someone who was doing good, but actually the braided lady had already killed him and they stole the truck from someone who was doing bad, but they don't know
it,
right?
Okay, that's
interesting. I mean, I only thought of that because, like, you saw near the end where she took the bottle of water and was putting all this, like, nasty, filthy water in it. She's trying to make people sick with those boxes, right?
Yeah, that was the other thing I didn't quite get. I thought maybe she was just refilling the water because it's not necessarily clean water, but it was rainwater. I thought maybe because she was saying, like, I'm not weak. I don't need it. I thought she was just getting more water. I didn't quite get that either. I don't know.
I think
this show in the last 2 weeks kind of lost a bit of interest and wasn't paying enough attention, if I'm honest.
Because she said to Morgan, yes, it is really tough out here. You should be careful. And then she's putting, like, filthy water in there. And then earlier in the episode, when Al was really sick, June speculated that could be cholera, which is something that you get from contaminated water, usually with dead bodies in it or something like that. But they never had that food and water.
Though only Morgan did.
I mean, we saw Al and we saw Al drinking a bottle of water in that truck in the van. We don't know where they got their water. They were drinking, but you're right. We never saw them go by a truck.
I think we would have. I feel like they probably would have mentioned, hey, we found this from a box where somebody left it.
Yeah. So in general, what I think, so this woman who's got, like, I feel at the end of the episode, how do you feel about this woman with the braids who's, like, I thought she was filling the bottles with dirty water, and then she puts it back in the box. She fills with dirty water, and she puts it back in the box. And I think she's actively trying to make humans sick. And she also is killing humans. Like, she killed Quinn for no reason and made him into a zombie. Like, she's clearly trying to kill healthy humans. Right?
Yeah,
for no
I don't know. See,
reason.
I didn't read that much into it. I just thought she was nuts. Because I was, you know, I like the whole thing where June, you know, push that guy away. She's like, you wouldn't give me a chance. And then she decides after, you know, I'm not that person. And she calls him and she, like, wants to help him. And I like that. And I thought he even brought, you know, the van back. This works. And then it's like, uh-oh. And then you find out she kills him and he's her new pet or whatever. But then she wrote, the first guy she had written on his head, take what you need, leave what you don't. And then this guy, she wrote, like, all the people you know or something like that. So I don't know. I just thought she was insane, and I just didn't quite get her storyline, I guess. I didn't look that deep into it. I didn't really think much about the water. I just assumed she was getting more water because she was like, I don't need, you know.
No. She filled it out of the puddle.
I didn't see her put it back in the box.
Back into the box.
Yes, I didn't see that.
She's trying to make people sick, I think, and killing people, and is a bad person. But I got to tell you, one of the things that I thought when I saw that happen, this woman, I felt like, oh, the story of this woman who's, like, so clearly crazy and trying to kill people and making zombies and blah, blah, blah. And she's like this outrageous character. And I just thought to myself, this is what happens when Scott Gimple gets involved with the show. Like, we have seen a couple of episodes that were really, like, we had that Alicia episode last week, which had some problems.
God.
It had a lot of problems, but it was a character-driven episode about what Alicia's going through since she lost her mother and her brother, and she wants to kill this little girl, but she wants to be the person her mother would want her to be, and, like, Madison would not kill that kid. Madison would say, let's give her a chance, right? And she's trying to be the better person. And look,
like,
there were a lot of problems.
Up, though.
There were a lot of problems with
that
episode. In general,
yeah.
I'm not sure I'm a fan of separating all of our characters into separate stories like this.
Yeah.
But we had this sort of meaningful character thing going on. And then we had this episode with June and Al, I thought was pretty good. And I got to tell you, in general, this show is definitely my favorite work that Maggie Grace has done. And I love Lost, but but Maggie Grace is like so much.
You don't mean for the show. You mean as her character, as
I mean, yeah, as her an actress.
Her
I mean, as an actress.
Yeah, I agree.
This is maybe my favorite work. Right. This is so
yeah,
better than Shannon
better
on Lost, and this is so much better than Taken, where it's almost like a Shannon character, where she's like the spoiled rich
that's
girl
true
who has to like you know learn about
yeah,
herself.
I would agree
I think
with
Maggie
that. Really good
right
at this.
And we had this episode where she and June, like, who are two people that don't want to get close to anyone, are, like, getting close and relying on each other. And I thought that was kind of well done. And Morgan, okay, Morgan's been a problem since two seasons ago on The Walking Dead. But then we have this crazy, crazy woman who's just, like, so beyond belief and ridiculous. And I just felt like, oh, Scott Gimple. Now Scott Gimple's on the show. Now we got to get, like,
don't ruin it.
With a ridiculous... Now it's going to be like The Walking Dead, where every 6 weeks is another ridiculous villain who one is worse than the last, and we're going to have to, like, you know... I just feel like it's not a good direction. This character is not a good... The Walking Dead... Fear the Walking Dead was so good for the first few episodes of the season, I thought. I don't know
yeah
if you agree, but I really...
Yeah, it was going in kind of a different direction. It was more... I want to say moody. I'm not sure what to say, but it was more
yes,
character,
right,
I guess, driven than
yes
than it had been before.
Yes. And I think that I really surprised myself with how much a show could kill off basically all the main character, right? Like Madison
well
is dead,
two
Nick is dead.
But yeah.
Well,
one
also two original characters, Ophelia and Daniel, are gone. Like they cleaned house from first season. And
yeah,
from
the
first
only
season,
person they kept was Alicia and Strand, but you know, not
right
for nothing, if you think about it, that's kind of what happened on The Walking Dead too. It just took longer years because we don't have
yeah but they
original.
I mean they cleaned
well
them all
few
out and yet I've come to be interested in the new characters pretty fast, like Al,
right, and they like went
June,
right into
John
spending all these episodes on them and just
yep
kind of forgot
mm-hmm
about the other characters. Yeah,
mm-hmm,
I agree. I think they're good characters, and I think it worked. It seemed like they were trying to kind of reboot it. But, yeah, I kind of thinking about it, I do agree this feels more like something that would be in the original show. So, yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I think this other group of characters though, could be interesting. I mean, we don't really know a lot about Aaron's character yet other than he makes beer. But I don't know. That's what I said, because it seems like I guess these people just care about themselves, but I don't know, because they did take the truck and they did leave him to die. But like I said, they kind of at first left Morgan. Was that because they wanted to get Virginia? I don't know. They don't seem to necessarily be cruel people, but they're not good people either. So I don't know if they just will be happy once they find another group of people, or if well, I mean, obviously we don't think they're going to get to Virginia. But I mean, if they did, like I'm kind of concerned, but, you know, also interested to see what they would even do if they found them, you know. So I don't know.
I think that those characters cannot survive. I think that...
Oh, I don't think
that
either.
I think they're caricatures. They're too goofy. Like, the guy in the wheelchair is always making these jokes, right? He's like, oh, give me a beer. Oh, I can't lower the... And the woman always calling Morgan Momo and acting like, you know...
Jimbo,
I just
yeah
feel like... I feel like those characters are too goofy and without any real gravitas.
It might just
be
in order to connect them to that crazy woman and they'll end up dead.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think you're right. They're a way to connect Morgan into this crazy. Now that crazy lady. So the last thing we saw was how she has a walkie-talkie. She can hear them, and
she
put a
off
tape over the 21 to make it look like mile marker 27 and murdered that guy. And I don't think she knew that he had Al's van. Like, I don't think they ever really talked about, like, you're driving a SWAT team van with guns on it and full of blah blah
no,
blah,
she
right? Like.
It.
She just, but she didn't know. She didn't know it. She killed him. She set him up to meet him there and killed him, and then kind of got lucky that was the vehicle he was driving, right?
Yeah, oh, that's true. She had to have known he was going to 27, though, to know or to 21 to know to cover it.
She knew,
so there had to
like, where he
some...
was coming from, I guess.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is normally you're driving down the road, you wouldn't just stop because you hit mile marker 21. Like, there had to be, she must have overheard, which I'm not remembering, but she had to have overheard something about him stopping there, because otherwise, she probably heard them
no,
on the
because,
radio, in all honesty. She
yes
had the radio, she probably heard him her telling him to meet him, and we're just forgetting. Or they just
Morgan,
say,
no, Morgan repeatedly said over the radio mile marker 27, and when June talked to him on the phone,
game.
June said, meet me at my, I'm waiting at mile marker 27.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Meet,
there,
yeah.
She was just lucky. The truck he was in. Yeah, okay. See, I didn't, I thought
yeah.
you meant you didn't get that either.
Yeah.
I misunderstood you. Yeah.
She just
yeah,
got
so just
lucky
whoever came.
That the truck he was driving was Al's amazing truck.
Yeah. The, now, that was the other thing I wanted to ask you. Was it supposed to be, because I realized after I just must have misunderstood. I take it that truck only runs on diesel. Because I was like
yeah.
thinking, why didn't they just, they didn't want to leave the one vehicle. Why didn't they just both go in there? And I got it after, because I was thinking they could have dumped the gas from the other car into that. I'm thinking, well, it must be diesel only. So
yeah.
I got that.
Only,
but,
it only drives on diesel.
Yeah. He would
yeah.
think, though, that, like, that's the other thing is, like, if their camera was so important, like, I don't know. I feel like at least when June went back and there was no drugs, you would think she would have grabbed the camera or something. That's what I kept thinking, like, you know, it was so important to her and she just leaves it there. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
At any rate, I'm disappointed with this woman with the braids who's so clearly crazy. Like, I just feel like she's another character with no nuance or motivation. Like not as bad as a Negan, but I feel like, and I just, like, yeah, I know Gimple's not a showrunner or a writer on this, and I don't, like, he didn't write that storyline, but I just feel it's not a good sign for, this show has, like, really shied away from those kind of ridiculous, well, okay, there was that ridiculous religious woman at that ranch in Mexico or whatever, but in general, the dangers that on Fear the Walking Dead are more nuanced than they are on Walking
yeah.
Dead.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to see. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I kind of agree with you. We'll have to wait and see. All right. Well, I think that's
yeah.
it, though, for the episode.
Okay.
We've got some more backstory.
Yep, I think you're right.
All right. So, Wynonna. Now, I want to make sure I don't go ahead here because I have seen further. But this was the episode about them trying, Wynonna and Nicole trying to get along and them rummaging through Nedley's closet, or I guess you could say, at the police station. And,
yeah, but can we turn back time a little bit? Because we haven't talked about Wynonna in at least 2 weeks.
Okay, go ahead.
And can we talk about how weird it was to see a Christmas episode in August?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the thought was behind that or why they did that, but it was kind of funny.
It made me wonder, does this show air, has it already aired in Canada? Could it possibly
no.
have aired at Christmas time in Canada?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think they just, for whatever reason, did that. Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure it doesn't. I don't know, unless maybe originally it was going to air a different time. I don't know. I never really looked to find out why they did that. I didn't even think about it until you said it. But it was just kind of weird and you know, in the middle of the summer or whatever that they
yeah.
did that.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about that episode at all, which was the Zoe Palmer episode, right? And we don't have
yeah.
to belabor it.
We probably should
but...
talk. No, I
yeah.
think we talked a little bit about Zoe in it, but it was a two-parter. I guess really the big thing that we, I don't know if we've talked about that's important is the fact that Waverly's father's an angel.
Which
and
is
Bobo's
crazy.
Out. Those are kind of the, yeah. Although, I don't know, I find it kind of interesting just because it kind of makes sense with everything that's gone on and not made sense. Like, it fits in. I don't know how it's going to play out, but... I mean, we have demons and that, so it's kind of an interesting twist depending on how they go with it, I guess. We, you know,
yeah.
it depends what happens and we don't know. But, you know, I got to be honest, I'm so confused with the relationships, like what the hell are up with these people. Because, okay, I was under the impression, and this is going back, I guess, the past couple weeks, I was under the impression that Doc had been sleeping with his wife. It made it that one night, like, he stayed there. And I don't know if she
right.
might be glamoring him and we didn't know that or we were supposed to know that, but it definitely seemed to me like they were together. But then in the next episode, he was like, and this was before he was, maybe this was before Jolene, I don't know. But anyway, it seemed like from the things he said that he was just helping her and he hadn't been with her because he was still in love with Wynonna, because I think that's was the time he said to her, like, he wanted her to say he loved her or something. I can't remember exactly. But then I got the opinion, I'm like, okay, maybe he wasn't sleeping with her. But then they had the whole thing with him being bitten, and he acted like he was doing it because she needed the help and also to help Wynonna. But then it seemed to me like he did sleep with her, and then Wynonna's sleeping with somebody else. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I don't know. I'm just mad at both of them. Like, the fact that she's, like, so upset, she just goes off with this other guy who's brand new, which, granted, he's cute, but he's just kind of this new, you know, well, I don't want to say necessarily unnecessary, we don't know yet, but just shows up. I don't know. I just was kind of mad they screwed that up, I guess. But I don't know what's up with Doc, and the fact that he let her bite him, I feel like was kind of dumb, if I'm honest. I mean, I get it. He's like, hey, I could be immortal and help Winona now, but that didn't seem to be his reasoning when he let her bite him, so I don't know.
So I agree with you for a number of reasons. So I do think it is not outside of Winona's character for her to fight with Doc and then go and have meaningless sex with a hot guy, right? Like, she's a very...
That's true, but him,
Yes, she's a very impulsive character and self-destructive character. Doc, I agree with you. First of all, I don't see any real chemistry or attraction between him and
no, I don't either.
The Countessa. Katrina is her name, I think. Countessa.
Kate,
anyway,
Countessa, yeah.
Kate. I don't see them as being like they were in like his past love and they were married and that she's so in love. Like, she seems desperate and needy. He seems to maybe never really have liked her. I don't really like see why Doc is conflicted there. And I agree with you that I don't really understand why he let her bite him, because I don't believe that he craves immortality more than he wants Winona. I think he would happily give up immortality to have a happy life with Winona, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I got the opinion with that conversation he had with his wife that she needed his help, and that's why he was going to be immortal. But then I thought maybe I misunderstood that, so I don't know. It's
well, like,
Bulshar
is going to kill her if she doesn't make Doc a vent. It's not ever really clear what her goal is.
Yeah, other than she wants him. I don't know, but I don't want to say I don't like her character. I don't really know her character enough yet.
I don't like her character. She's not likable.
Well, but right now she's not supposed to be. But I guess I don't understand, and I'm not sure where he's at. Like, it seems like he's in love with Winona, but yet, like you said, he acts kind of like he's in love with her at times, but it doesn't seem like he is. And I agree with you. I don't see any chemistry there at all. So I'm not sure what's going on with that, other than to put a blip in their relationship. But
it's bigger.
So I don't know.
He became a vampire, which is like killus. Like, I don't know why he would do that. He actually sort of didn't like being immortal. Like, he liked being immortal, but he also
trouble to not be immortal.
Right? He didn't want to be immortal. It seems like more than anything, he wants to be with Winona, whose job is to kill revenants. He becomes a vampire. And then, like, Kate is like, oh, she's not going to want you. And he goes to her house, and she's like, you're a vampire. I don't want you. And then he's like, don't say that. Come on, Doc. Like, what? How would he ever think that he could let his wife turn him to a vampire and then, like, be Winona? Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever. This whole episode made no sense, because I also thought it made no sense for Nicole and Winona to be fighting and hating each other for the whole episode.
Other than for,
like,
the plot point, yeah.
Right? Like,
but
those two
But it was funny, though, I felt like. I agree. Like, they were fighting just to fight in order to have this whole thing happen with breaking everything, because they had to fight in order to be throwing things. And I feel like it might have been more beneficial to, make it another reason that it broke. But all in all, the whole thing with the woman and them, going after it, it seemed like some, buddy comedy movie or something.
Yes,
when she got
yeah.
kidnapped and things kept happening. And I guess that was from the bad luck. And then they also let out that gnome guy. So I don't know. I thought those parts were funny.
They were funny,
the
but they made no sense for the characters. Like, I do not. It seems like that could have been a fight those two would have had a whole season ago when they first met, but it seems like now, with all they've been through, and for Winona to make very little of her surviving the Bulshar massacre and how that wasn't a...
Yeah,
like,
that was kind of like a low blow, was, and surprising she did that.
Yeah.
It did all feel like a plot device just to make the scenes happen.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That being said, I thought it was funny, and I mean, now that I talk about it and I think about it, yeah, they've been friends since then. It's kind of confusing that they were fighting that much. I mean, you could say that, Winona's pissed about what's happening, so she's crabby, but it was a little much. But at least by the end of the episode, they're
yeah.
not. It's nice to see. It's nice to find out that Nedley was the one that saved Nicole. I'm not sure why that was such a big deal. I thought that she just assumed it was Black Badge, and I just thought it was because Dolls had given her the files. I didn't really think much of it. I mean, it was nice to know that it was him, but I don't know. To me, I was kind of like, I don't know, I guess just it didn't seem like that much of a big deal, but I guess I'm not the character, so.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Right.
Yeah. So, it's, anyway, it's a problematic storyline with this vampire business, and I don't know how they can get out of it. It's also distracting me from, I kind of really like the storyline with Winona's mother. I'm not in love with the idea about Julian and the angel and she's gone to find him and all that. And I was just enjoying her being on the show and for her to leave is, I'm not loving that plot, I do like the girls with their mother and all this sort of like anger they have among themselves that they're trying to figure out. And yet they love their mother. Like I kind of like their whole relationship with her and that I like the character of Michelle.
Yeah, I did too. So that kind of stinks, but that don't mean she won't be back. We don't know.
Yeah.
To wait.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
I think that's about it for that. The next thing is what Killjoys. So I had just watched that. So the episode is about, Dutch. My mind's on Winona characters. I had to think about it. That she is following. Again, whatever Klein's message is in order to, they're going to that Pulsar in order to find whatever it is that he thinks will destroy the lady in green, and they end up in a fake black hole. So, you know, I thought at first maybe the ship was connected to that because, I don't know, I guess it was just like a throwaway line and Garrod was just out of it. But he makes this comment about it's only been like 10 minutes and he's been like, 5 days or something he's been there, and I thought there was going to be some kind of time dilation thing, but I guess I looked too much into it because that wasn't part of it. But anyway, so we find out who her mother, well, who Anila's mother is, and I guess then the whole point was that he was going to kill them all before, but he thought that maybe he could find a way to save Anila and not kill and then kill everybody, I guess, but it didn't work out. I guess that was the whole point of that anyway.
Yeah, I guess.
Because it was like 250 years ago.
I know, that was so weird, right? And so she's been in cryo for 250 years, but also does that mean that Klein was like, Klein only died for real recently, so Klein was 250 years old or more, 300 years old?
I guess I was thinking he had died when she put the stuff in the pool before, but he didn't. I guess that was like a fake death. I can't remember how he didn't, but yeah, I guess. I mean, he was like Hullin, so they were able to live that long. And I had forgotten the fact that he was Hullin, but he still kind of had his emotions compared to some of them, and that was a lot of why he was able to change. So I guess he still wanted to kill everybody, but he's like listened to her and thought that maybe he could find a way to save Anila first. I'm not sure how he thought that was going to happen and why it took him that long. He gave it 250 years, but I'm kind of guessing that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think either Anila's going to be killed or she's going to turn human, because now we know that they can, you know, make them unwhole and whatever you want to say, because they did it with the baby mom. I can't think of her name. With Delcea.
Oh, Delcea, yeah.
Yeah, so they know they can make her human again. So I'm assuming either she's going to die or she's going to become human again and become less crazy, because we know now why she was crazy. Or who knows, maybe she'll become human then die. I don't know. But I think it's headed somewhere in that direction, I would guess.
I mean, this whole thing is kind of getting really complicated, and they're going way into a lot of past kind of stuff, and it's really not clear yet who the lady is. Like, when we first, like, I thought maybe the assassin was going to be the lady, and it turns out the assassin is the face of Anila's mother, and it's the kind of the message that Klein sent, right?
It was Klein, this person, I guess. But yeah, I guess he was just the alien from the very beginning that he found. Whether or not we'll actually get a face to her or not, I don't know. I mean, it was just Anila that called her the lady, so we don't really know.
Yeah. I think Anila's going to die because I just don't think that they're going to have Hannah
Oh, I definitely don't
Kim
think
and
that.
John
I think if she turns
continue
human
to play
and
two
lives,
characters.
Right. Well, I thought it might be possible that she'll turn human and then go off with her mother or something, and we won't see her again.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't think they're
mm-hmm.
going to keep them both on the show, but I could see that happening. Or maybe she'd go off with Delcea. I don't know. But yes, I definitely don't think that they're going to continue to have her play two parts like another season. At least I wouldn't think so. And I guess right now they're going after Dav again, and or will be. I'm guessing. I don't really know, but it seems kind of obvious. And then what else? And then Pip's still got that thing in him, and she's just kind of lying about it because they had that that moment in there.
She wasn't even in this episode.
No, but they but at the end Zephyr, when I think it was Pri that asked where he was at, and she said like he's sleeping off a really bad headache or something.
Oh,
I
yeah.
assume that was just so he didn't ask, but it was just kind of like to let us know that's still happening.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems to be I don't want to say okay. He's not going to necessarily live long, but he's at least trustworthy to her now, I guess. So hopefully they'll figure out a way to fix him. It's too bad all the green's frozen, because it seems like a lot of times now they could just use the green to heal somebody, then decapitate them, but cut their spinal cord and put them back together,
right?
And they'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
that's
anyway,
true.
Which,
yeah.
Of course, they won't do.
No, of course not.
No. But I don't know. I liked the episode. I mean, I thought it was a decent episode. I do think they need to wrap up the lady storyline. I agree with that. Although it's not like the story with the green hasn't been going on for a long time as well. But I don't know. I'd like them to, I guess they already got all the answers, but because it had to do with that, I guess. But I kind of liked all the weird stuff about them experimenting and stuff. Excuse me, with level whatever level it was. I keep wanting to say level 6 because of Big Brother. With the red zone or whatever. I can't even remember. But that was all connected to the aliens, too. So I guess that's probably kind of part of this.
I mean, the green has been going on for a long time, but I think the reason the lady feels more belabored is because the lady is like, now we're into a really personal story with sort of like
it's
big
also
politics.
Like a single villain, too.
Yeah. 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 Like big politics and big war and armies that can go on against the backdrop for a long time and you don't like get that sick of it. But yeah, it's a single villain who we have never seen. And don't really know anything about. And now for like 6 episodes, they're like, oh, the lady. And we haven't really learned one more thing about the lady, like all season, right? So I think that's why it feels a little long. Like, I guess there will be a big payoff at some point, but
I don't know. I don't know how many episodes are left, if it'll go till the finale or not.
I don't know. I just thought that your idea that Anila will live, maybe she will take the kid, because I don't see the kid being able to stay on the show very long either. The kid, what is the kid's name? I forget his name, but.
Jacoby
Kimmerer. Jacoby.
I didn't realize was Klein's last name until today. I don't know somehow that part. Like, I knew she, I knew Delcea called him that, but I didn't realize. I figured it was from her family. She took that name from Anila's family, so.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see how long that can go, but I don't see the kid lasting very long either, right? This is not a show that can really have a kid on.
Well, it would have made sense if he, like, maybe kept aging, but, like, slower, because that would make more sense. But they stopped his aging, so, yeah, I kind of. They're probably going to do so. I mean, I don't know, but yeah, they probably don't.
He'll go off
him.
With Delcea to live somewhere, and they'll have a new story.
Well, that's true, too. That's why it makes sense, too, if Anila ends up maybe not with her mother, but with Delcea, and then they could. That would make sense if the kid stayed there. But she's human now. Oh, and what's this thing about there was 10 families instead of 9? I guess Klein and that woman was a 10th family. Wait, that was kind of new. Because she made a remark about that.
Yeah, maybe when she disappeared and died or whatever, that was the end of her family or something. I don't know.
Well, it's just like we lost another one because of that genetic bomb from before. But and they say that make me realize that technically means Dutch is like one of them, right? I mean, because she, well, not exactly because she isn't technically her daughter, but I mean, they could bring back the 10th family and be like, hey, look, you know, that could be somewhere in the future, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Because, I mean, Anila's the real natural child.
Yeah, but nobody necessarily knows that. That was kind of what I was
saying.
Well,
and Dutch is made out of the green or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
I think
maybe
that's
we've
about
covered
it.
That. All right.
Yeah. I think if there's anything else, I don't think so. Not that I've seen. I don't know. I'm running around a week, I feel like. Okay, well, have fun with the rest
right.
of the show, guys. And
we're
like I said, I don't
rock.
Know if I'll be here next week or not. We'll have to see. But if
okay.
not, I will see you after. All right?
Okay.
Great.
Right, Jamie. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye, AJ. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 So,
all right, this leaves us with Castle Rock.
Castle Rock, which we have 2 weeks to discuss.
Yeah.
So, last we spoke, we had our Twin Peaks episode.
Yes. Oh,
and
yeah.
Then,
when the last episode we saw was when, he got locked in the, Henry got locked in the, yeah, we
filter.
Had that weirdness where he meets those two guys and he gets knocked in the,
yeah.
he gets locked in the soundproof room or whatever, and hears the voice of God, yeah. So, last week, yeah.
Well, 2 weeks ago, we got two weeks ago was
mm-hmm.
the episode that was entirely from his mom's point of view, which Alyssa was kind of like, this is boring, it's kind of stupid, and I was like, I liked it. It wasn't until the end of the episode that she finally started enjoying it. I had explained to her a couple times that what we were seeing was pretty much her perspective from the entire season of what she was seeing when she was zoning out. And
yeah, but
you know, based
I mean,
on the whole, go ahead.
I agree, but I maybe don't agree. So, it, you know, it's established that she has Alzheimer's, and so it was from her.
That's not established because the doctor even says, you know, they assume she has Alzheimer's, but the doctor even says that Alzheimer's is not something we can test for. It's something that we find out during the autopsy. Because it's something in the brain that we can't, that we don't yet have a test to determine. People assume
so
that's what it is a lot of times.
So do you like posit that she doesn't actually have Alzheimer's, but she is actually unstuck in time? Or
no, I don't know yet. I mean, my initial thought was that she had Alzheimer's. I even said the last time we spoke that her analogy about then and that, you know, finding the chess pieces so that she knows she's in the now was a great analogy for Alzheimer's. I was on the team of Alzheimer's
yes,
too.
Yes, you were all on board
says,
with that. Yep.
Yes. But now since we've seen the filter and seeing this episode, I mean, she could very well have Alzheimer's and that's what she sees when she's having her Alzheimer moments. She's reverting to the past because that's what happens to Alzheimer patients is they revert to the past and don't remember the present. And live in that moment until they come back to their senses. However, given this whole course correction, time is congruent thing that we are hearing, maybe she really is stuck in time. You know, and it's something that we're not probably going to get an answer to until the finale, which is why I think I enjoyed the episode so much because either way, even if she's stuck, whether she's stuck in time or has Alzheimer's, I kind of like because what she says and what she does in those moments when we're seeing it from other people's perspectives makes sense to me now because we're seeing what her mind saw, regardless of whether which it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. With that said, I thought it was a great episode. And I think,
mm-hmm.
look, if I'm the executive producer and I have Sissy Spacek in my cast – hell yeah, I'm giving her a whole hour to herself, right?
Yep.
I thought she was great. I thought she was amazing portraying a woman who is like confused and terrified and yet resolved to like figure this out and, you know, do whatever. And the ending was so heartbreaking, right? And
oh my God. I actually yelled. Because like it was just enough of a flash that I realized it was Alan coming through the door.
Yep.
And
yep.
I said, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And Alyssa goes, what? I said, I think she just shot Alan. And Alyssa
mm-hmm.
goes, I kind of saw that coming. She's like, but how do you know
yep.
that she just shot Alan? And I was like, because there was enough of a flash that I caught it at the right moment that I saw it was him.
Yep. So the same thing happened to me. I like saw it coming before it happened. And I maybe like I knew that the kid was like, yeah. When he took the shoes off his feet at the end of the last episode and you're like, oh, that's the kid. And then you see it's the father and then it's not the father. And I saw it coming also. I didn't see it soon enough that I ruined my experience. Like I didn't see it to the last minute, kind of like you did a little bit before it happened.
Right.
And I was like, it was heartbreaking, right? It was so, and then at the end, actually, so here's the bit about being unstuck in time and what you're talking about. At the very end where she has this flashback where he comes to the door and it's a story that Pangborn has told Henry earlier in the season when he came, shots were heard in the neighborhood and he came to the door and she hugged
yep.
him and said, please don't leave. And then we see it happen after she shoots him and he says shots were, you know, she has this
yep.
flashback where he says shots were heard in the neighborhood and she
mm-hmm.
hugs him and says, don't ever leave. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh my God, wait, like I saw this as a linear story, but with Alzheimer's, like who's just being terrified by this guy. And now I'm like, wait, is there a loop happening here? Is there some sort of like, yeah, it threw me definitely that. And I don't even know how to interpret it now that we're talking about it.
I completely agree. I did the same thing. I said the same thing to Alyssa. I was like, oh, my God, the shot's fired. I was like, what? I was basically like, what is going on here? Because that's exactly what, you know, why Alan came in the first place, because there were shots fired. And
yep.
we're seeing.
And then he never left.
In her mind, after she's already shot him.
Right.
So, it you know, but the only thing that, I mean, and with this type of show, we're going to have to suspend belief, but my only problem is, how does somebody else in the now hear the shots from a different timeline, we'll call it? You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's the only part that I have a little problem with, and maybe they'll explain it if that's indeed where they're going with this. But yeah, I mean,
unless
overall,
the
I thought the episode was great.
Yep. Unless the person who heard the shots is somebody like Molly, who also has, you know, weird, I mean, could it be
yes.
Molly or someone like Molly? I mean, these people in this
yes,
town have a weird.
Molly. That makes
right?
perfect
it could
sense.
Be Molly.
Now, two things I want to point out about this episode that are Easter eggs that I caught.
Yep.
And I'm surprised you didn't catch the one, but I don't think you did because you haven't said anything about it. When she tells Wendell, by the way, Wendell, I didn't even think about this last time we talked, but the kid playing Wendell is in the new It movie.
Oh, yeah?
Plays,
I haven't seen that movie, so.
I can't think of the character's name, but he's in the new It movie with Bill Skarsgård, who is the mystery kid from the jail. So there's actually three things, but when she tells Wendell to go to the mall, did you hear what mall she told him to go to?
No.
Clearly you did not. She tells him to go to the mall in Chester Mills.
Oh, yeah?
Under the dome.
Yep, Chester Mills is under the dome. Chester Mills is the town under the dome. So...
And
in Under the Dome,
Alan,
it's never clear where that is.
True.
In the show,
true,
at least, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't catch that at all.
The whole thing about, and Alan coming to the door and coming back from New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
after the events of Needful Things, Alan and Polly moved to New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah?
And that's the other thing that I you know, when they were, when I, because of the timelines, that I finally figured something out that I think is kind of interesting, the way they interwove this, is Henry was found in, Henry's father died in 1991. That's when Henry went missing. The event
yep.
of Needful Things took place in 1993. which means Alan had a thing for Henry's mother prior to meeting and dating Polly, who he ended up marrying and moving to New Hampshire with. But that's the only other thing that's got me kind of confused, because I don't know what happened to Polly. They keep talking about him being a widower, and obviously if he came back to Castle Rock to be with – what's his mother's – Henry's mother's
Ruth,
name?
Ruth.
He comes back for Ruth. I'm assuming Polly died too, because I remember Polly was sick. I know she had really bad arthritis, but I remember her. There was something else wrong with her.
Well, she had a diary. He wouldn't be a widower.
Exactly. Well, that's where the confusion kind of comes in, because his first wife died in a car accident, which is one of the reasons he moved to Castle Rock in the first place.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Alan Pangborn actually had two sons. I don't know what happened to the older son, but the younger son was with his wife and also died in the car accident. And that's one of the reasons he moved to Castle Rock in the first place.
To Castle Rock to get away.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm assuming Polly died also because they refer to him as a widower. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So. But anyway.
So what's your third connection?
Well, the other one was that the kid played within.
Oh. Well, and the other thing is that Henry, the events with Henry happened in 1991, right? And it's now 2018, so it's a 27-year cycle, which also is a thing in called? Is a 27? It is a 27-year cycle, also, right?
I thought we talked about that already, but yeah.
Oh, I don't know if we did. No.
I thought we might have mentioned it, but yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, last week's episode, it was one of the, I think it was just an all-around great hour of television across any show that, you know, we watched some great shows in 2018, and I think, I don't know if Castle Rock is up there with Twin Peaks and The Americans, but that hour is up there, I think, largely on the strength of Sissy Spacek's episode, acting in that episode. I think. And so then it tied in a little bit to this episode, but not so much. It was kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like when you read a really good book and, like, someone's murdered in one chapter and you turn the page and the next chapter starts with a totally different person who doesn't know anything about the murder, right? Like, it was totally one of these, or like a Walking Dead episode where, you know, you have one character who's in about to be eaten and they cut to, like, the next week as a different character who's doing something totally different and doesn't know that Daryl's about to be eaten or whatever.
Right.
So it's a thing that, you know, it's a sort of a standard trick, but I liked how by the end of it they did, you know, they brought it all around, where Henry comes home to find Pangborn is dead in the house, and that his mother has done it. And the kid offers to help. The kid says, what does the kid say? I could have helped her, or I can help her, or if I was here, I would have helped her, or something like that, he says.
He says, I'll help hide the body because we have to protect her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's actually something else we should talk about, is when the kid's talking to Alan after he finds the Lincoln. He's like, I got the Lincoln. It'll be here tomorrow. And he's like, it'll be a monument to Lacey and all the people that put me in that cage. And then, of course, with Alan dying, it's almost like, see, like, that's the thing I love and hate, is I can't get a handle on the kid. Is he good? Is he bad? Is he – what's his deal? Because he – you know, his action – people touching him seem to have an adverse reaction, but
mm-hmm. –
He didn't do anything to Ruth. She just saw, you know, her husband as him, and which is why she flipped out and started really losing her shit.
But Pangborn did help him put him in the cage, if you think about it, right? Because Pangborn stopped Lacey on the road that night and knew the kid was in the cage all those years and didn't do anything about it because he believed the kid was the devil.
Which is why it seems like almost that he put Ruth purposely into a tizzy knowing that she would kill Alan, which in essence would get his revenge on Alan for being put in the cage all those years.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think for Alan to be killed by the woman he loves, you know, I also, yeah, and I don't know what the kid has in store for Ruth. Is Ruth, you know, is Ruth simply an instrument to get back at Pangborn? Is Ruth also, like, what did Ruth know? When did she know it? Ruth clearly knows a lot more than she has let on to Henry at all, right?
I think she does, but doesn't. Like, I think she might have some of the knowledge needed, but she might be confused by it and not know that she knows certain, you know what
but
I mean?
She clearly knows that her dead husband was a total, like, her husband was at minimum a jerk and probably a very abusive person. Like, she's clearly afraid of him. Henry was afraid of him, right? There's, like, so much there that that makes him seem like a really bad guy, and yet he heard the voice. Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. Like, I think I know what I think about these characters, but I know that in a piece of Stephen King work, none of this is maybe really, or a lot of this is not as it seems. While some characters are clearly evil and the devil from the start, some of them are confusing or can change.
Well, that's like, you know, I'll tell you what, I got pissed off. Because that woman, the cop who says, I couldn't believe it. She's like, did you know the kids called you the Black Death? And then she starts flipping on them. You know, you come back to town and we have, you know, two deaths, and I'm thinking, okay, first of all, Lacey killed himself before he came back. He came back because of Lacey. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like. I mean, but then,
also,
I mean, as the episode
clearly
goes on, it gets worse. What?
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, in Castle Rock, people get killed, like, once a week, like, right? Like, have all these murders, all these killings really just happened since Henry got back? Or have they, I don't know, they might not have happened because there was a scene, like, two or three episodes ago where the kid goes to sleep in Molly's house, and he wakes up and what's her name, the little blonde girl, is there. And she takes him in the car to smoke pot, right? What's her name? The blonde, Tracy? Jackie. So she takes him to smoke pot, and she's telling him how this town is so boring and there were all these really cool murders, blah, 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 but nothing has happened here in years. And I wonder if that means nothing has happened here in 27 years. Or, right, like, are there no longer murders?
Well,
and is it because Henry came back, or is it because the kid came back?
Let's put it in
right?
this perspective.
Right, because Henry and the kid came at the same time.
Yes. But let's put it in this – I'll put it in this perspective for you. Needful Things was the last Castle Rock story.
Okay. And that's 27
so
years.
So it's very possible – that nothing has happened in the last 27 years.
Yeah.
And given the fact that she's probably, 22, 23 maybe?
Yeah.
That would coincide, and she's saying nothing has ever happened in her lifetime in that town, would lead credence to that Castle Rock has actually been in pretty good shape for the past 27 years. And you bring up a great point. Is it because Henry's back or because the kid's back? I got to believe because the kid's back. Henry.
But Henry, you know, because everywhere the kid goes, like, he took the kid to visit that psychiatric hospital, and like a giant murder happened at the psychiatric hospital. Remember, he took the kid to the psych hospital, and like, we can't take him, you need an appointment. And then you see in the background of every news story is like death and like everybody's got a radio on in the background is like death and destruction, and there was a fire at the psychiatric hospital, all these people were killed, right?
Yeah.
And some other stuff. But let's talk about the main thing that happened, the main thing in this episode we haven't talked about at all. The couple who bought the bed and breakfast, who bought the Lacey house to open a B&B.
That's where I was going next, actually.
You go. What do you want to say about that?
Well, the first thing I noticed, which is weird because, I mean, up to this point, we've seen people have adverse reactions that have touched the kid.
Yes.
This guy finds all the paintings that Lacey did of him.
Yeah.
And he's staring at that one profile picture of him, and he seems to have lost his mind. Now, we do see a quick flashback. We find out that one of his colleagues slept with his wife, and he smacked him upside the head with a really big book. So
yes.
We know the dude has
violent fashion
already.
And that he was obsessed with serial killers already.
Yes, yes. Which is why they want to do this kind of horror house B&B.
Yeah.
But you really see it in the actor's face that he has just lost touch with reality in that moment. And then the next thing, and then we see him in the bedroom, you know, listening to the couple having sex, and then he's just gone, and, you know, he's murdering them.
You know what set him off? When they sat on the couch together, did you catch when they were greeting the couple who comes to the B&B? And he says, "How long have you been married?" And the woman says 13 years, and the man says 2 years. And it's clear that they have come there to cheat on their spouses. Which is what set him, right? It's clear that they've come there to cheat.
You know,
one says 13 years, the other says 2 years.
You know what? I missed that.
Actually, she
totally
says 13
that.
Years, and he says 2 years for me. And there's a look on his face. And I think that's the moment when he becomes fully enraged because the wife had an affair, which is why he lost his job, right? He hits the guy with the book, he loses his job.
Right. I see. I missed that. But, okay.
So
cool.
I think that there's like evil in that house and whatever and the paintings, and there's definitely something going on there. But I think that, you know, would he have killed a regular married couple who came in? And I guess the question is, was he always a killer and got set off for some reason because he's obsessed with serial killers, he's hit someone, blah, 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 or is he – not that hitting someone with a book makes you a killer, but like what – and the fact that the wife covered for him makes me – adds evidence that it's the house or the kid, right?
Well, you know what's funny actually, because I was kind of – that actually shocked me when I saw that the wife was helping him. I was like, what the hell? And Alyssa said to me, she's like, well, they're clearly trying, you know, wherever they were living, they moved from because he hit the guy upside the head with the book. So she's clearly trying to rebuild her marriage, and she sees that he has a passion for something, so she's jumping all in to try and save her marriage. Now, I mean, it's crazy sounding, but look in the world we're living in, where we're watching.
I guess your husband has butchered two people, and let me save my marriage by helping him to not be caught. It's a Stephen King book, Stephen King based story. I see
the universe,
it.
Yeah.
And then they both lose it. But I have to think
the
paintings are part of it, right? Like.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's something about the kid.
Also,
and so, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So I was going to say, what about Henry? So there's two ways to go with this. Henry then sneaks into the house that night.
Well, before Henry, Jackie shows up.
Because
she's trying to drum up some business for her cab company. And I made a funny comment when I was watching the scene, and she's talking, she's like, you guys beat me to it. She's like, I have this exact same idea. And she's going on and on, and she's like, she knows the axe. And I'm like, I bet you know about axes.
Yeah. Well, and we already knew
she
was obsessed with killings because she, you know, she sat and lectured the kid about every killing that happened in Castle Rock and how sad it is that no interesting murders happen anymore. In town, right?
Right, and she's pissed.
Like,
she's pissed off that her parents have never told her about her Uncle Jack, who tried to hack up his family.
Yeah, because that's
the
definitely the kind of thing families don't talk about, in my right. So, I mean, here's another thing: does Jackie just show up in the right place at the right time, or is there something that's like drawing her there also to be there at that? Like, she's
not professed
to be psychic, but.
Well, in this case, she was at the right place at the right time because she lurked. Because
she does lurk.
Says she even said to the cop, she was like, I stuck around because I knew there was, she could feel, you know, she could just sense there was something wrong with these people. And that's why she stuck around. And Henry.
But she says later, after she grabs the axe, which I'm not really sure where she got the axe. I guess it was the axe that we saw earlier in the living room. They had a had a mannequin with an axe in its head.
Jackie makes
a remark about, like, she says to the cops, like, I don't know, it's like I wasn't myself. Like, the, you know, when she grabs the axe and kills the guy, she's like, I don't know, it's like I wasn't myself or something like that, she says. And granted, that's what all people say when they kill. Like, that guy who killed Molly Tibbetts in Iowa was like, oh, I blacked out, I don't remember it. Like, it's a standard alibi, maybe.
Well,
is there any truth to it?
I did hear her say that. However, I forgot about it, so you just brought it up, because I did have a thought about that, actually, when she said it, and then I forgot. And it's funny, because it's one of those moments where you have a thought about something happens, you have a thought, and then you continue watching the episode, and then you forget about it.
And it gets out of your head.
Until you just said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it gets out of your head. Until you just said that, I completely forgot what my thought was, which was, well, gee, the last time we heard something like that was when Molly was telling Henry about killing his father and feeling like
father.
He was part of her. So could Molly have actually been channeling through
Jackie
to save her boyfriend? Yeah.
Because she knew he was in trouble. She always knows when he's in trouble or anything that goes on with him.
Because she found him in the camper.
She did.
Because
she
was getting the flashes that he was getting in the camp, you know, filter.
And so the one guy was laying down on the ground, like, dead outside the camper, right? So did she kill him, or did something else kill him?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. I didn't even think about what happened to him, because that was just weird.
And so we clearly saw Molly take drugs before that scene. So maybe she was...
Yeah, she took everything she had left.
Before the murder scene. So, yeah. I don't know.
Which, since we're talking about Molly now, when she's driving down the road and she stops in front of her parents' house, which is for rent, and
the
kid
is there.
And she's like, you know, what are you doing here and everything? And he's like, Henry's not ready.
Yep.
So it's like, I'm like, which is another reason I'm not sure what the kid's deal is. Is he good? Is he bad? What's his deal? Oh, and that's the other thing. He also says to Henry, he's like, I waited for you for 27 years.
Yep.
I
saved you from that basement.
Which
right?
is what led him to go to Lacey's house in the first place.
Right. Like, was he locked in that basement before he remembers nothing from before he was adopted or from that night in the woods, right? So was he
right.
in a situation where he was locked in a basement, or does he literally meet? So thing is, by the end of the episode, he also says to Molly, this is where we were, this is where I saw you die, or this is where you died, or something like that, right? He says to Molly, as though he has seen her death, as though it happened in the past. And so
right.
if
and
there's
Molly's
a
seen
time...
Her own death.
Yes, Molly has seen her own death, hasn't she?
Yes.
And so that's so weird. So did she really see it? Did the kid put it in her head? Did she? I mean, she saw it before she met the kid, right?
Yeah. I don't know about before she met him, but she saw it in this episode. He mentioned we see it through her eyes, like through her mind.
Yeah.
But he mentions to her that he's seen her death.
He's
like, that's where you die. And
so did he see it in her head, or did he see it separately? Does he know something separately? Which
well,
also makes me think...
Because when he's talking to Ruth, he's telling Ruth things about, like, her wedding night and other things that only her husband would know.
Right.
You know? So he clearly knows things.
So now I'm thinking when he says, Henry, I waited for you for 27 years... I saved you from that basement. Like, this idea that was started last week with Ruth about being maybe unstuck in time or whatever, like, I saved you from that basement. Does it mean I saved you from a basement when you were a kid? Or does it mean I saved you from that basement tonight by, like, Henry was going to go in that basement. He did go in that basement, didn't he?
Yeah.
Until the two homeowners tried to kill him, and then he fled the house and blah, 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 right? Like, did he save him from the basement
right,
by sending them to kill him?
Right, and then he gets a, you know, he gets the phone call, and he takes off, and the cops are like, and the cops crack me up. They go running after the car. Really?
Yeah. They are Castle Rock cops where people are killed, like, every day, and they can't solve any of them.
Well, that's the problem. These cops, the people that are cops now, haven't experienced any of the murders from the past, you know, there hasn't been anything going on for the past 27 years, because they have no idea
yeah.
what's spooky in this town.
Yeah. I do. I can't decide the kid's deal either. Do you remember when the kid, like, several episodes ago, he says to Molly, maybe Henry or Molly, he says, you have no idea what's going on here, do you? Like, and I feel like,
yeah.
like, I was so sure the kid was, like, the devil, and now I feel like that's not at all what this is about. And
well,
he might not be, okay, I don't necessarily think he's a force for good. I do think evil's associated with him, but he might not be, like, I don't know what to feel.
Reluctant.
He says, you have no idea what's, yeah, he might be reluctant. And when he says, you have no idea what's going on here, and Henry's not ready, I mean, Henry's definitely not ready to hear the voice the way, like, those guys in the camper wanted him to. And now it seems like his son Wendell can also hear the voice, and maybe is Wendell
yeah.
the, is it really about
Which,
Wendell and not Henry?
Rich, did you notice where Wendell got off the bus?
Where did he get off the bus?
Not in
where?
Salem's lot.
Shut up. Did the sign say Salem's lot? I would have turned the TV off
well,
right then. That scared the shit out of me. Salem's lot.
Well, the sign said Jerusalem's lot, which is actually the
yeah,
name
which is
of the town.
Yep. That's actually the name of it, yep.
Yep, but everybody calls it Salem.
I think the name of the story is Jerusalem's Lot, right? But the book, which is a companion of short stories, is called Salem's Lot? Or the story is called Salem's Lot?
The book's called Salem's Lot.
It's so scary. It scared me so much when I read it. Oh, my God. No, I didn't notice that. I know he didn't get very far out of town and decided to walk back. And he was coming back just as his father was, like, almost being killed in his house.
Yeah.
And then he comes home and he's like, oh, you know, grandma and all this. I shouldn't have left her. She told me to leave. Blah, blah. Oh, no, Henry had put him on the bus by then to leave.
Oh, no, that didn't happen. No, that didn't happen yet. Yeah, that happened before the bus.
That didn't happen yet. Yeah, before the bus. I don't know. The kid definitely was hearing the sound in his ears.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As he was leaving town. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea. There's only two episodes left. It has been renewed now for a second season, which makes me feel better because I didn't know how they could wrap this up in two episodes. I don't think they can I mean, I guess they could, but they would have
to
rush it.
Because it's an anthology.
It's an anthology, right? Yeah, it's an anthology.
So they're not going to, none of these characters are going to be back next season. I mean, maybe we'll see a character, like a minor character come back next season or something like that. I don't know, maybe Jackie will be back next season. But as far as Henry and Ruth and all that, you know, and the main cast is going to, if they come back, I mean, I don't know if they're going to do like Ryan Murphy with using the same cast members as different characters. But it's, you know, it's going to be another completely different story next season.
Yeah.
I think the way they've structured this, I mean, you know, it was very getting to know you in the first, like, 4 or 5 episodes, and
mm-hmm.
then these last 3 have really ramped it up and really given us the meat of the story and kind of set us on the path of what's to come, you know? So I don't see a problem with them wrapping it up in 2 more episodes.
Yeah, it was very atmospheric but not scary at first, but now it's been, like, real horror for the last, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy.
I think. Yeah. So.
So.
All right, well, I guess we covered pretty much everything that happened, huh?
Yeah, I would say so.
All right.
I think we're definitely wrapping up. All right.
All right. Well,
I guess that's it for this week. And next week, we're only going to have 4 shows to talk about. I'll have 1.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, Castle
Fear,
Rock.
Killjoys, Winona, and Castle Rock. None
Great.
That. All right.
Shortest show then.
Thank
All right.
Everybody. Thank you, everybody, for
have
listening. Thank you, Jamie, for being here earlier. And we'll do it again next week. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks. Goodbye.